Hearing is conditional use number 2157, Country Lawn Care and Maintenance LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a landscaping business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 4.26 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the north side of Holly Mount Road, approximately 0.42 mile east of Beaver Dam Road. The 911 address is 30435 Holly Mount Road, Harbison. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 11, Parcel 78.07. Staff would note for the record, there is a staff analysis, an exhibit booklet, a site plan, comments from the Delta service level that did not require a TIS, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, and comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine Burton. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic, Carmine, Weidman, McCartney, and Owens. I represent the applicant, Country Lawn Care and Maintenance LLC, who's applied for a conditional use of land in an AR1 district for purposes of operating an existing landscaping business known as Country Lawn Care and Maintenance LLC. Also in attendance this evening on behalf of this application are Gerald and Stephania Doherty. They are the owners of Country Lawn Care and Maintenance, as well as the owners of the property, and Alan Dechter, project engineer, Pannoni. We've also submitted exhibit booklets, as Ms. Cornwell had suggested, for your review and consideration. Among other things, those exhibit booklets include a copy of the application, the conditional use site plan, the DelDOT response letter, letters in support of the application, and some images of the property, as well as a written statement in support of this project's compliance with the zoning code and the comprehensive plan and proposed findings of fact and conditions. The Dohertys have owned and operated their landscaping business known as Country Lawn Care and Maintenance LLC for 9 years. They purchased this property, which is located at 30435 Holly Mount Road, in June of 2016, with the intent to not only reside at the property, but also to operate their landscaping business from the property, which they have done for the past 2.5 years. The previous owners of the property also operated a landscaping business from the property during their ownership. As a result, the Dohertys were unaware that their intended use of the property was not permitted without a conditional use permit. It was not until the Dohertys received a violation notice from Sussex County that they discovered that a conditional use permit was required to continue to operate their business on the property. The proposed use of the property is a permitted conditional use under the zoning code, and it is consistent with the purposes and goals of the comprehensive land use plan. The property contains approximately 4.26 acres of land. It's located in the AR1 district under the zoning code. Conditional uses allowed within the AR1 district include, among other uses, agricultural related industries such as country lawn care's use, as well as residential, business, commercial, or industrial uses when the purposes of the chapter are more fully met by the issuance of a conditional use permit. The Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update of June 2008, the future land use map under which this application was submitted, finds the property to be located in the low density area. The primary uses envisioned in the low-density areas are agricultural activities and single-family detached homes. The plan provides that business development should be largely confined to businesses that address those needs. The focus of retail and office uses in these areas should be providing convenience goods and services to nearby residents. Country Lawn Care is an established family-owned business that meets this criteria. Stephania manages the day-to-day operations of the business, and Jerry's in charge of its sales. They currently have 10 employees who, depending on weather conditions, regularly arrive on site at 7 a.m. and depart no later than 7 p.m., and that's Monday through Friday. Of course, regular business hours are extended as necessary for purposes of snow removal or responding to other weather conditions or emergency situations that necessitate Country Lawn Care services. Stephania is the only employee that's on site all day during business hours. Their office is not open to the public, thus there's no foot traffic that would normally be associated with a retail landscaping business. There are also no mechanics on site. Country Lawn Care refers the repair of its equipment to subcontractors that are off-site. It's only routine maintenance, such as the changing of blades, that is done on-site. And any equipment is not started any earlier than 7 a.m. It's then placed on trailers to be used off-site at various jobs throughout the day. Country Lawn Care does not stock bulk mulch or any other bulk materials. They use bag materials only. Any waste is disposed in a small, currently disposed in a small dumpster, which is located behind the dwelling. In addition to the natural forested buffer that surrounds the property, there's a privacy fence along the side and the rear of the property, and that's to avoid any adverse impact on neighboring properties. Before I turn the presentation over to Mr. Dechter to present the site plan, I'd like to introduce Mr. Dougherty to address the commission.
Good evening, Jerry Dougherty. I just wanted to briefly tell why this property is so important to myself, my family, and our team members. We have three young girls. I have a very balanced life with my work. I do believe in a better quality of life is why we started this business. I am heavily involved in our morning routine with our children, the off the bus routine. I'm home for dinner every evening. My wife appreciates that. And I can still be there for my team
appreciate
members.
Appreciate more if you cook dinner.
Well, she would. She would. I do in the summer.
You should learn.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
So I'm very heavily involved with our team members as they come back to the yard in the evening. I still be at dinner and still. I think I split my time well, being a husband, a father, and a team leader. So this our future plan is to buy a commercial property when my parents sell their land. I want to buy a commercial property. And then the business will be sellable either to hand down to my children or if our team members want to buy in. That's our long-term goal. It's not sellable in our backyard. I get that. We did what we could to get where we are to provide a good life for my family. That's all I have.
Well, thank you. At this point, I'd like to introduce Mr. Dechter to present the site plan and the proposed improvements.
Thank you, Shannon. As Shannon said, my name is Alan Dechter with Pannoni Associates. I'm a professional civil engineer located at 18072 Davidson Drive, Milton, Delaware. As shown in Exhibit 3 of the booklet, there's a conditional use site plan. The property is located on Holly Mount Road, roughly 0.4 miles east of Beaver Dam Road. It's surrounded by adjacent residential properties. All properties are zoned AR1. The lot to the west is a vacant wooded lot. To the south is Holly Mount Road. To the east is a single-family residential dwelling, which right to the east of them is the new entrance to Spring Breeze subdivision, which goes along that property, continues along the Dougherty's property, and then opens up into a much larger subdivision behind them to the north. This property is served by existing well and septic. The employees in the back are able to use Port-a-John when they're there in the morning and the evening, coming and going from their daily duties. As Shannon said, the east border has a existing wood privacy fence along with vegetation to help screen the neighboring properties. The property drops down in the back, which is, you know, a existing wooded area. Right now, you know, with the winter conditions and the vegetation kind of down, you can barely see what's happening on the back of their property in the summer with full vegetation. You wouldn't even know they were there. Swinging up front, again, you turn in into their property off of Holly Mount Road. Their residential dwelling sits back roughly 260 feet from the road. They have an adjacent detached garage, which on the plan shows them looking, you know, they would look like to expand that garage for personal use and storage. As you work your way to past the garage, That's where a gravel area opens up where they conduct their business activities. Right now, they store their trucks and trailers in that area along the west border. They have an existing building there for the business use. Behind that right now, they have a bunch of smaller sheds. They look to demolish and remove those sheds and then expand the existing building to contain everything under one roof. The property as a whole is outside the 500-year floodplain. You can refer to exhibits 7 and 8. Exhibit 7 shows some photos of the property, and exhibit 8 shows some exhibits of the entrance into Spring Breeze subdivision, which also shows the existing privacy fence and vegetation buffer. The parking situation, the employees show up in the morning, they have a designated parking area, they get their gear together and leave in their work trucks and trailers, and then come back in the afternoon and switch back to their personal vehicles. Moving forward, if this conditional use application is approved, we would seek, and coordinate with all agency approvals, with DLDOT, SED, and Fire Marshal, to make sure all requirements and regulations are met moving forward. And I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. The Dohertys are using the property for both residential and agricultural related activities, and they're clearly servicing the needs of residents nearby and throughout Sussex County. The proposed use will not have any adverse impact on neighboring properties or the surrounding area or uses. Rather, Country Lawn Care has received letters in support of their application and their use. In addition, the proposed use will have no adverse impact on traffic. DLDOT did not recommend that a traffic impact study be performed. The proposed conditional use will simply facilitate the ability of the Dohertys to not only reside at the property, but to continue to operate their established family-owned business on the property and serve the landscaping-related needs of residents and businesses of Sussex County. For these reasons, and based on the record in this presentation, we request that the Commission recommend approval of the proposed conditional use. We, of course, are available for any and all questions that you may have, and thank you for your consideration of our request.
All right, then. Well, thank you for your presentation. Let's see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Hopkins.
Okay, well, in full disclosure, I drove by, and I was trying to find where the business was, because it looked like what you see in that picture right there. It looked like a well-kept residential home. But it wasn't until I drove all the way in and drove past a small office that's kind of tucked back in there, and there were people in the office. I thought I better ask permission before I kept driving. So I met Mr. Darty for the first time and just asked him if I could drive through, and he was kind enough to let me do that. I have a few questions. So what with the service? It's lawn care. Do y'all do any tree service?
We do not do tree service. Nothing over 6 feet.
Okay. So you're not. So will you ever need to bring any trees back in and dump them or grind them or anything like that?
No, we don't.
None of that.
Certified arborist.
So there won't be any time during the day where there'd be any kind of grinding going on?
No, we don't.
Did I hear you say that the people that owned the property prior to you also had a lawn care business?
Yes, he did. It was more of a mowing operation in the front building. Yes.
So when you moved there in June of, is that what you said, June of 16? You had already been in business, I guess, if we take 9 years minus two, you'd been in business around 7 years up to that point?
Yes.
So you had I'm assuming then you had a fairly decent customer base at the time?
Yes, we did.
So for the last 2 years, your employee base, has it stayed the same, grown, or?
We've actually tightened up a little bit with the economy and our pool of team members we can find. We have a consulting group that we use, and we're going for a better quality crew, and we provide a higher level of service. So it's actually shrunk from 21 down.
21 folks?
Yes, down.
So do you see it staying about that size or growing?
Yes, we do. We're comfortable at our overhead level and our trucks and our space.
So you're saying that you anticipate the foreseeable future maintaining what you've been the kind of business you've been conducting in there for the last 2 years?
Yes, that's we would like to.
So you have you're satisfied with the parking there? So the site that when I drove in there today and looked at it, is that the footprint that you're going to retain? Are you looking for to make it any larger? Because I guess the point the point that I'm focusing in on is you can't I couldn't even see it from the roadway. So if you're going to quadruple in size, it could be a problem. But if you're going to stay about the same,
no, we're going to stay the same size. We don't plan on growing larger. We just like to tighten up and get more efficient with our organization when we move out into a commercial area. And my children want to grow it. I'm very comfortable at my lifestyle the way it is. We enjoy it. It's easy to manage right now.
Now, when I pulled in there, there's a residence to the right of you. What's their disposition on?
Well, we have a letter in our booklet. They said we were the best neighbors they've ever had. They were very happy with who we are and how the how we've upkept the property and the changes we've made, and they're advocates. They're for us. They're just in Florida at the moment, but they're for us.
And then there's a vacant or a lot beside you, and then a house to the left of that, and beyond. Do you know what the disposition of those folks are?
The house to the left, they're the Stanleys. They're here. I don't believe they're going to oppose us. I don't know if they're 100% for us. We would like, the Dohertys would like to buy that lot between us. That's our goal.
You say they would like to buy it?
We would.
Oh, you all would like to buy it?
To maintain the wooded lot. We like the buffer.
And how many vehicles do you have?
We have...
How many vehicles do you, like, construction vehicles?
At construction vehicles, we have 13 vehicles.
The construction vehicles, the vehicles are standard pickups.
Right,
with trailers.
Yes.
Just
a few of our employees take some home.
So, and how does it work out having the business in the home all together?
Well, we like it because I can still be a father and a husband, and we like it because you can't see it from the road. And when our buffer builds up, we have a berm and a buffer. When we're in our backyard cooking out, we won't see the business either. It's never meant to be an eyesore. We take our neighbors and my family into consideration with that.
And your hours, what's the earliest that somebody will open the gate and drive back in there?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. And what's the latest that somebody will lock the gate as long as it's not snowing?
We would like it to be 7.
7.
That very rarely happens. We don't bid lawn care or any of our services on overtime, so when we're past 3:30, 4 o'clock, the company's losing money. It does not make sense for us to work overtime. But 7 o'clock would be great if we got a late start and we had to stay a little longer to get a job done. And we don't work any weekends. I haven't worked a weekend in 3 years.
You heard him talking earlier tonight about backup alarms. That's one of the big things we're hearing with in regard to the lawn care businesses. And, you know, so I think most people are up by 7, but those alarms that Kenny was talking about earlier, we all might need to check into those.
Yes, we have them. We buy our equipment from Iron Source, which Stoke Material Homes, so they're on our equipment.
Great. How about a sign? Are y'all planning to put a sign out front?
We don't want a sign out front. We don't want stopper bys. My wife and children are there, especially in the summer. They're there all day long. I really don't want people stopping by.
Great. I don't have any more questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Ms. Wingett?
In full disclosure, I too rode by, but I did not pull into your property. But I really could not tell that it was a business. So I'm sure your neighbors do appreciate that. But so let me be clear. You have less than 21 employees. Is that correct?
That is correct. It was 21 employees approximately 4 years ago.
Okay.
And when we joined a consulting group, we tightened our reins. It was unmanageable. And it was not a good quality of life.
So you cut lawns, and in the wintertime, you snow removal?
Yes, we do hardscape. We do high-end patios as well.
Okay.
So currently, right now, we have 10 employees, currently.
But no materials were stored on your...
Correct.
Okay. So basically, the employees come into the property in the morning, they get their vehicle, their company vehicle, they park, and they leave.
We have a very large bill at Stokely Material. We don't stock material. We buy from them. So.
Okay. But I mean, as far as the traffic,
yes,
that's going in and out of there, it's that once in the morning, once in the typically.
That's correct.
And no weekends. Okay. I think you pretty much covered all the other questions I have with Mr. Hopkins. So thank you. That's it.
Okay. Anybody staff on this end?
None for me.
Anyone?
Thank you.
Okay. What's going on?
None. Thank you.
Thanks.
Just a little history, maybe, Ms. Burton. Are we here because of a violation or okay?
Yes.
And that's not, there's nothing unusual about that. That's how it happens a lot to them. That's not an issue. And you've been there, your client's been there 2.5 years.
That's correct.
Prior to that, it was also being used the same way your client is using it. How do you know how long that activity took was the previous owner?
The back building was not there.
Okay.
I don't know. They owned the house for 10 years, husband and wife team.
Mm-hmm.
I know they had 2 white Dodge pickup trucks,
mm-hmm,
and they had a mowing outfit and did landscape when they weren't mowing.
Okay.
It was a very well landscaped house, and they even turned over some clients. So as they moved to Montana, when their children graduated high school at Cape, they moved to Montana.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as you know, and I'm sure your attorney's explained to you, this is a conditional use process. The commission has the ability to place conditions and so on. Certainly, when riding by the property, you would never know that's what's there. And I think that's a characteristic that everyone would like to see continued. So a condition that would prohibit from anything being in front of the house that having to do with the business, that's not an issue for you?
That is not an issue.
Okay. All right, sir.
That was a selling point from when we bought the house.
Understood. Okay. Well, I have to tell you that I'm disappointed to hear that you got all the way down this far. You had a realtor, I assume, at some point. You also had a settlement attorney, and nobody talked to you. I hope you didn't do the settlement.
It wasn't me.
Okay. And nobody talked to you about zoning and what you were going to do there. I find that to be disappointing. I happen to be a realtor, licensed realtor myself, and I'm sorry that you got here, because at some point along the way, someone should have said something to you about the need to at least research that you could in fact do what you wanted to do there. So
we feel a little duped as well.
But anyway, you're here now. We'll see what we can do with it. So all right, sir, thank you. That's all I have. Anyone else have any other questions? Okay, then if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone that's interested in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2157, Country Lawn Care and Maintenance LLC? In favor.
Yes, sir. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Steve Castiglione. Full disclosure, I do work for Country Lawn Care.
Okay.
It caught my job kind of depends on, I guess you could say, this passing through no fault of our own. We're here. We've been there for 2 years. We provide high-end, landscaping, hardscaping services. The community itself is getting busy. We're, bigger. So we'd like to continue to service those new houses that are being approved.
Okay.
Just got passion. What we want to do.
All righty. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Yes, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Christopher Warren. I live in Hillsborough, Delaware. Jeremy recently hired me in August. And as Steve mentioned, my life depends on Jeremy's business. And there's a set of core values that we live by. One of those core values is accountability. And I'm accountable for the job that I do. Steve's accountable for the jobs he does. But and then what it comes down to is Jeremy's really accountable for his 10 employees. His 10 employees have families, children feed. So it's really important for us to have this approval so we can move forward and continue to work as a great company. And I think, I just moved down here in April, and unfortunately I lost my job. My company let me go, and I finally found a good fit with CLC. Not what I was doing before, but I really enjoy the work that I'm doing now. I was in sales, and now I'm digging holes and planting trees again. It's probably a little bit better for my health because I get to work out a little bit, lost a little bit of weight, but getting this conditional permit approved would be greatly appreciated, not only by me, Jerry's family, but...
Just to clarify, you said that you had found a good fit with CLC. You are talking about the lawn care, not Canadian Lord Calvert.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's very, very fair, very, very honest person to work for. It's actually a breath of fresh air to have somebody like that.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Okay. Are all 10 of your employees here this evening, or just
a small
one? Oh, okay. All right.
That's some good news.
My name's Corey Henry. Lewis, Delaware. I just moved here recently. Right before Christmas from Pennsylvania, and thanks to Jerry and Stephanie, they made that happen. I was looking for a while to move down here, and they made it happen, luckily. And I like that their house is right there with the business, because when I come in late at nights, I want to load up for the next day. I don't have to try and call and have a missed call.
Mm-hmm.
They're right there, and he can help me with it.
Okay.
Even though I hate taking away from his family at the time, but if it's this and now there, we're not there late in the mornings.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else like to speak in favor? All right. Is there anyone who'd like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2157? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Well, good evening. I rise in opposition to the approval of conditional use of this land of AR1. My opposition is based on four reasons.
If we can get your name,
please. Your name.
I'm sorry. My name is James Spellman, and I am the owner of the adjacent lot, which I can just simply point to right here.
Okay.
I rise in opposition for four reasons. The first is that this business has been operating for several years, at least 3 years. If one looks at public records, they use the Holly Mount address to establish their business on March 6, 2013, Exhibit A, which I will submit to you. That is from the Delaware Department of State. So there is some confusion about how long the business has been operating there, but I want to note that the pursuit now of a conditional use variance is an acknowledgement by them that they have been in violation of the restrictions of AR zoning rules, as detailed in Article 4, Sections 115.19 to 115.19. 11/15/26. Their request came after my complaint on February 21st, 2018 to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Office. Their property was visited on February 28th by an employee of the office. The owner advised the office then that they had, would begin the process to, to gain approval for conditional use. The owner was advised by the office on September 18th, 2018 that they remained in violation of the AR1 zoning restrictions, hence their presence today. In my view, the LADA should not be awarded by this county for their years-long violation by being granted this conditional use long after they established and operated their business on this lot. As was alluded to earlier, that they bought a lot, they should have known what the dynamics are, what the constraints are of an AR1 zoning restriction. The other point I want to make here is that when they are now seeking to bend the law to accommodate their needs after the fact, in my view, that's akin to someone breaking into a house, violating the law, then going back to the state and the council and saying, please amend the law to exempt this activity from the law. Or better, just give the robber keys to more houses to rob. I call attention, too, to the false wording of the application and notice. It states, to be located on a certain parcel of land. As was already stated tonight, the business has been operating on the property for several years with a garage built for that purpose more than 3 years ago and plans to extend that facility. For the application to state that this conditional use is sought for a future business is false. The application is being filed long after the operation of the this business began, which violates, in my view, AR1 zoning as this county's planning and zoning office has affirmed. Second, the purpose of AR1 zoning and the conditions given for permitting conditional use are very clear, as stated by the statute. And I quote, quote, the purpose of these districts is to provide for a full range of agricultural activities and to protect agricultural lands as one of the county's most valuable natural resources from the depreciating effect of objectionable, hazardous, and unsightly uses. There are other details in that particular statute I can go into, but you're quite familiar with those. Operating a lawn care and landscaping business runs counter to the intent and purpose of AR1 restrictions and permissions for agricultural uses. Point A. Definitions for both agriculture and its activities are defined in detail in several chapters of Delaware state law. For example, Title 3, Sections 901 through 906 of Chapter 8, Delaware Agricultural Lands Preservation Act. It defines agriculture as those activities tied to the production of food, quote, useful to humans, from livestock to plant-based foods. Specifically, 902, paragraph 3 states, agricultural use means all forms of farming, including agriculture, horticulture, aquaculture, silviculture, and activities devoted to the production for the sale of food and other products useful to humans, which are grown, raised, or harvested on lands and waters, end quote. Nowhere in this law, or for that matter, other sections of Delaware law, does the term agriculture encompass a lawn care and landscaping business. The zoning rules of Sussex County exist within the realm of Delaware state law. County laws and actions are subservient to Delaware state law. All references and all definitions by Sussex County for the word agriculture inherently are defined by Delaware state law. A lawn care and landscaping business is not an agricultural entity. Point B, AR is designed to protect homeowners and farms from, quote, the depreciating effect of objectionable, hazardous, and unsightly uses. As one can witness in morning and evening hours, and I don't know to what time either of you have visited the property, but if one visits the hours in the morning and the evening, their coming and going of workers and trucks has had a depreciating effect on this land and adjoining properties such as mine. Further, the enormous garage is unsightly, and the uses are hazardous. Numerous studies show that lawn care chemicals pose a health threat to humans and wildlife. In humans, they are absorbed through the skin, by the mouth, or by breathing sprays, dust, or vapors. The oil and gas residues from the trucks traversing the lot, plus the seepage of lawn fertilizers and weed killers, are inevitably leaching into the aquifer. Studies show that elevated levels of nitrogen are injurious to natural habitat and human health, as are petrochemicals. While Country Lawn notes that it does follow an organic approach. It also notes in the footnote, quote, additional services, including weed and pest control, may contain non-organic ingredients and or pesticides, end quote. Since there is no public water and sewer supply for the lots along Holly Mount, those living on adjoining lots that draw water from the aquifer are threatened. I note that other lawn care and landscaping businesses are operating in the county on loan that is specifically zoned for commercial use, such as Lawns Unlimited in Milton on Route 1. Why shouldn't this business equally seek a location zone for commercial use? Point C. AR zoning addresses agricultural and residential usage, seeking to balance the two uses while preventing intensive land use development of tract housing so that agricultural lands can be preserved to the benefit of our environment and health. Having a commercial business next to a resident upsets that balance. The business activity is disturbing the tranquility and posing risk to homeowners of potential crime while they are away. Point D, there is a covenant on this lot and adjoining lots under the subdivision. The intent and purpose of the covenant was to promote the construction of substantial houses on these lots. Homes that retain the pristine forest seamlessly exist in the natural habitat and protect the aquifer. Third, the operation of this business has been injurious to my ability to sell my lot, as my realtor has told me. Potential buyers looking at my property to build substantial home have walked away after witnessing the morning and evening activities of Country Lawn Care and Maintenance. They've expressed alarm at the number of workers arriving in the morning and the potential security threats those workers may pose to the safety of the home that they would build. They've expressed displeasure with the level of noise and activity that disturbs the serenity the lot buyers were seeking. They raised concerns about the pollution to the groundwater and air, the dangers of seepages of nitrogen-rich fertilizer, and petroleum-based products such as gasoline and oil into the aquifer. Delaware law and court precedents are clear about the enormous weight that the Planning Commission and County Council must give to considering potential injurious effects of decisions that change the status quo. My fourth and final point, has the State Labor Department approved the conditions for workers on site, including access to adequate sanitary facilities and safe drinking water? If so, I call upon the employer to provide proof of that. Second, has the employer complied with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, ensuring its employers are all documented workers? If so, I call upon the employer to provide that verification. Third, has the Department of Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Protection looked at the operations on the property? Have they certified that the toxic pesticides and herbicides Country Lawn Care uses do not pose a threat to the aquifer? That the company abides by laws and rules to protect the environment and human health? If so, I call upon them to provide information verifying full compliance. The county's actions to date in allowing this lawn care and landscaping business to operate in this lot for several years raised questions in my mind about the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Office and its head, Janelle Cornwell. First, the office and Ms. Cornwell did not take any action to enforce.
Let's take a break here.
Okay.
I want you to confine your remarks to that site and how that site is affecting you. Okay.
Which has nothing
to do with Ms. Cornwell, this staff,
that's fine,
or anybody
and I,
sitting
I will,
up here.
I will just end there by saying that I ask you to.
No, I'd like you to answer my question. Specifically, how is that impacting you? Do you live there? Do you live
there? No, I have the lot.
How long have you owned the lot?
I've owned the lot for 9 years.
Okay, so you owned it before these folks bought the adjacent property.
The adjacent property, I'm not quite sure when they bought it, but there was a lawn, there was a business operating. There was a business operating there prior to them there.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. And you knew that, right?
I was concerned about it. Yes, I was concerned about it.
But you bought the property anyway.
I bought the property prior, perhaps prior to that.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm just trying to get to what it is you feel that you're being injured. By the way, are you a licensed real estate appraiser or a realtor?
I am a licensed realtor within DC.
Okay, and so are you? Is it your professional? Are you testifying
I'm testifying based upon the evidence that my realtor.
What evidence?
He's given me.
He said.
Case
she
examples.
Said. Is your realtor here? Can your realtor
no,
testify?
No, but I would have. I mean, I could go out and ask him to submit in writing specific examples of potential buyers who walked away from the if that would help the record for sure.
Well, Paul, his name is Paul
Townsend. Well, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, some of the information that was presented tonight is the first time I've heard it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this information is not provided on the website, so it's hard to get all the information that one needs to oppose, to provide an adequate opposition.
Okay. Well,
you've asked me specifically, how does it hurt me?
Yeah.
My ability to sell my lot has been impaired, and that is verified by my realtor, his representation of me, and is sharing with me the observations of those who've arrived in the morning at the evening, found the level of activity on the site to be problematic.
Okay, thank you. All right, who else would like to speak in opposition? Okay, you and then you.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. You're closer.
Yeah, that was quicker. I'm Albert Stanley. I live at 30401 Holly Mount Road, which is Jerry's property, and then the vacant lot that gentleman owns, and I own the next lot. And just to give you a little history, my wife and I bought that property in 2010. We didn't develop it right away because we had some medical issues with our mother, so we held off on it. So we built it 4 years ago, and we built it in the woods, so we didn't want to have neighbors, okay? And that sounds ridiculous, but I was in a 55 and older, and we had enough of that, and we didn't want to be associated with that anymore. So we built this house, this very expensive house, and we had to sign this
covenant,
okay, when we bought the property, okay, and it states in there, you can't run a business, and I'll be glad to give you a copy of this, and some of the reasons why I don't want that business running is because of the noise, because of the traffic, because of the dump trucks that go in there and dump, and you get this big bang, which, you know, startles you. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and trust me, that does not go down well with me. Okay? I'm a combat vet. Okay? So the lot next door, which I didn't know that gentleman was going to be here tonight, but I was going to say that if you allow him to operate his business, then that means everybody can do the same thing. There's other lots there that are for sale too. So they can come in and put up a business, and he put it up right next to mine, to my house. I mean, that's not fair to me, you know, especially when we had an agreement not to do that. And and the backup alarms, as you mentioned, you know, you hear them. It's you know, there may be an acre of woods between us, but I can still see his house through the woods over that property. And I can hear everything that goes on over there. Okay, mechanical repairs and stuff like that. And I didn't move there for that. I'm semi-retired.
How long have you been there?
I've been there since we built a house 4 years ago.
Okay.
An echelon home, okay?
Right, sure.
So, you know, I have a lot invested in that home, and I want it to be quiet. You know,
And you've been living...
I understand, Jerry, excuse me.
You've been living there for 4 years. I'm just trying to establish how long you've been there.
Yes,
And he's been there for 2.5 years, I think.
And we've talked about this.
Okay.
Okay? This is not something new.
Okay.
And and I understand Jerry. I understand what his plight is with his family. Okay, he came to me, knocked on my front door with his whole family, and tried to make me feel guilty for not going along with this. And that was some time ago. Okay, and I said then that I didn't like what he was doing. So this is not just came up. Okay, so he's been running this business for quite some time. And the previous owner right? Had dogs, okay? Barked all day long, okay? So I was glad to see Jerry come in when he sold. But there was no evidence at all that there was a business going out of that property, okay? Because I'm there all the time. I'm in my house. And so I don't know where this prior business was.
Were you aware, you mentioned that the applicant came to see you.
Yes.
Had you spoken with him prior to that about your concerns about noise and about him about a business being there?
You know, I don't want to be here, okay? I don't want to be a bad neighbor, right? So I let it go. We did complain to the association, okay? And that's how part of it got started. He was served a letter and he was spoken to by the attorney's office, and I don't know all the details of what happened, but that was before he started building all his buildings and all the rest of it. He was forewarned.
Okay.
So my empathy is for him because it's for his family, and he's got workers. I have a business. I have 12 workers. I care about my workers. He obviously does too. Okay, but you can't infringe on somebody else's property or lifestyle because you didn't follow the rules. I mean, it was obvious. I mean, you know, and he knew this because we told him about this, but he said to us he didn't know about this. I find it very hard to believe.
I don't. I can tell you it happens. It happens here all the time. People come in same situation, so happens routinely, unfortunately, but it happens routinely.
But this is something that's public record.
I'm going to find out about that.
Okay. And the other thing is, that's none of my concern. But anyway, that's my issue. Okay.
All right.
And I oppose it. I know another neighbor that is. Okay. So, but he's not here, so I'm not going to represent him.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Ms. Burton, you want to speak to this issue?
Yes, I do.
I'm hearing words like an association and covenants and deeds, and can you enlighten the commission at all as to what might be contained in your client's deed?
There are no restrictions in my client's deed. The deed is included in the exhibit booklet. There are restrictive covenants that were imposed by the entity that subdivided this property. They are attached as an exhibit to the deed to that entity, and it was Spring Breeze LLC. These restrictive covenants were not provided to the Dohertys at closing. They're not included in their deed. Again, I did not handle the closing.
But the deed references the prior restrictions in the chain of title.
It says that there are, where is it?
I mean, it says subject to any and all restrictions,
correct,
reservations, conditions, easements of record in the recorded deeds. I mean, so it's going to depend,
correct,
on what's in the chain of title.
Right, it's the general catch-all.
Sir.
Listen,
sir, we're having a conversation here with the person at the podium, all right? We don't need any interjections. Thanks.
I do have copies of the a former deed or a prior deed, which does have the restrictive covenants attached to it, which I can submit if you would like, so you can look at them.
Yeah, I want to go back to the question that our counselor just asked because it's important. Are those covenants referenced in the deed?
Not specifically. This deed is not, it's not referenced that there are specifically deed restrictions that are imposed against
this property. It's going to depend on if they're in the chain of title or not, because if they're in the chain of title, legally they're of record and they're legally on notice of them. So
that's a question that has to be answered.
Yeah.
And that's correct. They are in the chain of title, and we're not disputing that. However, they've been abandoned. They're not being enforced. Mr. Stanley is in violation of the restrictive covenants himself. Apparently, he has a wall that exceeds the height, the maximum height requirements. He has removed trees that were not permitted under the restrictive covenants. All of the owners have done various things in violation of the restrictive covenants. They have never been enforced by anybody. The declarant was Spring Breeze LLC. The restrictions themselves don't provide for any specific mechanism in which to amend the restrictive covenants. Notwithstanding our belief that they have been abandoned, they're not enforceable at this time. We have taken measures to amend the restrictive covenants. And like I said, there's no specific mechanism in the restrictive covenants themselves, so we've had to rely upon the statute, and that would require two-thirds majority or affirmative vote in which to amend, so three of the four lot owners to amend them. And the Dohertys have reached out. Again, we do not believe that they are enforceable at this point because there are various restrictive covenants. And again, I can, should I submit them to?
Yeah, we've talked about them. Yeah, let's get them.
And I will say, we're not going to get into as a county whether or not deed restrictions are enforceable or not, or whether they've been waived. That's a private contract,
well,
right,
for
the property owners. But yeah,
if they exist, so I don't. That's my concern. Is if they exist and they're in the chain of title, that's going to be a consideration.
Don't say
it. At this point, that's all I would say. It'd be a consideration. So we'll see.
If they are any extent enforceable, they're only enforceable by those four, the owners of the four lots.
The county would have nothing to do. We would have nothing to do with any enforcement action. It just does bear on any kind of decision we would make, in terms of a conditional use, though, I think. But we'll figure that out. We'll figure that out. So
or
thank
could
you.
That be a condition?
That could be. Yeah, that might be a way to handle it.
So. Mr. Robertson, I have a copy of the relevant statute as well and the proposed amendment that was submitted to. Do you want that or?
I don't, because it's proposed, it hasn't been actually acted on. Yeah.
Anything nice.
I have a question.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, yeah.
It's with regards, and I'm sorry I missed the gentleman's name that was just up, but he mentioned dump trucks coming in, dumping. So I didn't think there was anything that was being dumped on site.
There is a lot of activity behind our house, 6-7 days a week. Tree removal
in the
dump trucks in Spring Breeze, right dead behind.
So it's nothing that you're doing.
No, we do not.
So it's not you.
No.
You're saying it's not your. Not your dump. It's not your noise.
We dump grass. We don't have tailgates. We have. Okay. The flat nose trucks with the open bed, and when the trailer, we shovel grass off. But where the point of that yellow is in the back, that's what Mark on the left, that's directly behind Mr. Stanley's property. They're actively clearing those trees and bulldozing and running loaders. And I hear it go down my lane to the right of me all morning. Okay. 6 o'clock in the morning, deliveries, truck drivers,
okay.
Tree trucks.
Right. Okay. Take a seat.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. You were next in the orange shirt.
Good evening. John Furbush, 30509 Holly Mount Road.
Yes, sir.
Perhaps I can fill in some of the missing from the attorneys.
Be my guest.
This land was developed by a local developer under an LLC, Spring Breeze LLC. They're all restricted lots. There are 21 lots. Most of them have 300-foot front. They were all wooded. There were two smaller lots. The one that there's a small 2-acre and the one that the applicant has. They're the smallest lots. They're restricted. They're zoned residential, AR. People bought these lots because of the location and the privacy. If we are now going to open it up for conditional use, what have we done? We do the right thing. We buy the land. We build a home. We follow the deed restrictions. Now, somebody can come along, buy a property, move a commercial activity into it, ignore the deed restrictions, and if we honor that, if we award that, then isn't that sort of the people that are doing the right thing, the other 20 owners, there's 21 lots. There were that's along the highway. That was the frontal lots. There's 230 acres in the back. We all knew this, that would be developed, and it is in the process of being developed. Spring Breeze. That's why I like to say it's the residential community of Spring Breeze. We all have our restrictions. They're all from, they all say Spring Breeze.
Are you, is there a homeowners association?
Does that mean if we don't have an association, that we don't have to do the right thing? We don't have to follow the deed restrictions?
No, that means, is there a homeowners association? It's a yes or no.
No, we don't. We have never needed to because everybody followed the restrictions. And to set the record straight, the gentleman that had that property was retired. He had a riding mower. One person. That's not a commercial activity. That's not a large building with 10 employees. And it just totally ignored the deed restrictions. There's sheds. You're supposed to have two outbuildings. This was done so we could have what we want, a nice location and privacy, wooded lots. And I just think this is the wrong place for commercial. There's no commercial on Holly Mount Road at all. So this is truly a slippery slope. You give it to one, how do you deny the next? And there will be a next. If we draw the line, if our zoning, if we're serious about the zoning, then we have to make the decision. It's a hard decision, but we have to make the right decision. It's not fair to the other people. The people that are doing the right thing, they're going to come up on the short end if you grant conditional use. And it doesn't benefit anybody else but the people you grant it to. It's not going to improve, it's not going to increase my lot value. It's going to have a negative.
Well, this is why we have a public hearing, so that we can get, this is why we have a public hearing.
Okay, well, and this is what, so there were things that you weren't told that maybe, you know, you should know how this was all developed. And the man who developed it.
That's why you're here.
Did it? So we would have a nice country style community.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Just you answered the one I was wondering if there was an association. Okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak in opposition? Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions? One trip to a customer, sir.
Well, I just had a question about procedure. May I ask the question?
The procedure is, here, I'll explain the procedure.
We'll tell you what the
procedure
is.
Yeah, so the commission's going to likely close the public hearing on this application this evening. I suspect, given all the information that was provided, that the commission's going to defer action on this application. Ms. Stevenson, who's not here, may also wish to review the record and listen to the recording so that she can vote on the application after she's reviewed the entire record. So the commission at some point on a future agenda, which is publicly advertised, will put this back on for consideration. At that point, they'll make a recommendation to county council. County council has another hearing on this because they have the final say, and Ms. Cornwell is going to tell us the date of that public hearing before county council in just a moment, which you all and anybody else who has an interest will have an opportunity to speak and present any evidence or testimony for or against.
February 19th.
Yeah, okay, well, let's just make sure.
Just triple checking.
I got a lot of information on this, so.
But do we have an opportunity to rebut?
No.
Any information to present to it?
No.
It is Tuesday, February 19th, in this chamber at 1:30 in the afternoon.
That said, that's another public hearing, so you can say anything you want about this hearing or that hearing at that public hearing before County Council.
Everyone needs to know this, that, you know, this, we make a recommendation to County Council. They make the final decision. They're going to hold their own hearing. You may hear a completely different presentation than what you heard tonight. That's the applicant's right to change, modify, augment, improve, whatever. So you may hear something different. So it's important for you to be there if you continue to have an interest in.
And if this deferred, do we have another opportunity for the commission to?
No, we're done. Tonight's it. This is it. We're getting ready to close the public hearing and close the record. Well, we may not close the record, but we may not close the record, but we will be closing the public hearing here shortly. So.
I know it's out of order, but may I respond very briefly to one of the last comments that was made?
Generally not permitted by the rules. So. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Look, we'll run the meeting, okay? I'm going to ask you to be quiet, okay? I've heard enough. Okay. Now, before we close the public hearing, I just want to share with the commissioners that are here this evening, because they're somewhat new still a little bit.
Absolutely.
New. Okay. The
5 years.
The situation with the subdivision, the restrictive covenants, in my mind is very important for us to figure that out, because typically, and almost as a matter of policy, we have not granted conditional uses inside subdivisions. Okay. For the reasons that a lot of these folks stated this evening, okay? Granted, this is not the typical situation, it's not the typical kind of a subdivision if it's all county road lots and all that stuff, but in my mind, it still turns on what kind of force and effect these restrictions have, and if they are in fact in the chain of title, I think that is a serious consideration for us.
So what I'd like to do is, Ms. Bird supplied them. It's a little bit confusing to me, and this is maybe why you'd leave the record open. It sounds like there was multiple lots in the subdivision along the frontage. It sounds like the restrictions that were provided only specifically address 4 or 5 lots, of which this is one of. I think it's important, Mr. Wheatley, as you stated, just as a minimum threshold, just to know what we're dealing with. You know, let's get that chain of title. Let's see what's in there. That way you all can make a decision based on what's actually out there, and I can do that research and report back to you.
And that's what I feel like we really need to do in this situation, because that's going to be important.
Yeah. It is. I will say this. It is a bit different. To your point, Mr. Wheatley, it's, you know, we've been very strict on subdivisions where it's one that's plotted with private roads, you know, internal lots within a subdivision. This one is a little bit different, but it still sounds like, you know, there were covenants, and we need to find out if there was sort of a community idea there.
It speaks to the issue that if people laid their money down for property with a certain expectation that was spelled out at some point in time, was spelled out, then that has to be respected. It's what we've done with every subdivision in the 25 years I've been here. Okay, it's a very important point. If this is not as I had originally thought it was, simply just another county road lot, just another strip lot, where there'd been an ongoing business activity anyway, then it seems like, you know, it's one thing. But with the information that's come to light this evening, which again, folks, this is why we have a public hearing. It's amazing what the light of day will shine on things. And it isn't that anybody tried to hide something. It's just that a lot of times people just aren't aware, or aren't aware of the impact of what's out there until we all get together and talk about it. And that's what this
this is all about. So, so I think the idea would be to leave the record open for Mr. Robertson.
Can I make a motion to do that?
Yeah, instead of referring back, let's go ahead and make that motion now, so these folks can leave. Unless you want to stay the rest of the night with us, but you're certainly welcome to. But we'll go ahead and act on it now. So we'll entertain a motion.
Yeah, no time. You don't need a time limit. Just information.
Need a time limit. Just leave the record open to collect the additional information that we need.
For the shaded title.
Yes, and I make a motion to defer.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use 2157 Country Lawn Care and Maintenance LLC to give our council time to assemble and disseminate the information requested. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay. Our next public hearing